Our study this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, Israel's bad example of reckless unrestraint. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision Paul received from God as he ministered in Corinth in Acts 18:10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. In 1 Corinthians 10:1-13, Paul gave a bad example in Israel's reckless unrestraint in the Exodus that led to God's severe discipline as a warning for his readers not to self-indulge in their liberties in Christ to the spiritual harm of weaker believers. So we study the passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into his word this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of meeting together. We thank you for the word of God that we have in our own language, and for the Spirit of God who authored scripture through holy men of God, who illumined scripture to us, who then equips us to live by means of the power that he provides, that we can actually do the will of God. We ask, Father, for wisdom to utilize each one of the ministries of God's Spirit this morning, that we might understand the text and use it, and that for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the passage that we have, and then we'll look at it. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-13. "Moreover, brethren, I would not have that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer, will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Okay, after warning his readers in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, not to self-indulge in their liberties in the Lord to the wounding of the consciences of weaker believers, Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, 1-10 gave the bad example of Israel in the wilderness who self-indulged in reckless unrestraint, what was met with severe divine discipline. When Israel had been freed from Egypt in the Exodus, she enjoyed five advantages. And this is listed in 1 Corinthians 10, 1-14. First of all, Israel had God's supernatural guidance and protection in the pillar of the cloud. The pillar of the cloud was something that was not only over them, and that signified the presence of God. And when God moved the cloud in a certain direction, they were supposed to go in that direction. But apparently, we get this from other passages in the scripture, the cloud would flatten out and it provided some protection from the sun. And that's pretty important if you're in the desert, in the wilderness, especially Sinai, which can get hotter than the dickens there. But that provided some help for them. So God provided guidance and protection in the pillar of the cloud. And of course, at night, the cloud would turn into a fiery pillar. It wouldn't just be a cloud by day. It was a cloud by day, but a fire pillar by night. So sometimes God had to move in the middle of the night, like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. The cloud would rise and away you go. So everybody had to pack up and go. But most of the time God had them stay there overnight. And sometimes it would stay a year in one place. Sometimes it would just move after one day. And it could be 2 weeks, could be a couple of months. So they just had to keep their eye on the cloud. But the cloud gave them guidance and gave them protection, which is important. Then she experienced God's supernatural deliverance at the crossing of the Red Sea. That's why they were baptized in the sea. Israel was baptized into Moses. That means they were united with their spiritual leader, Moses, God's servant, in their experiences with the pillar of cloud and the Red Sea crossing. It's interesting, after they crossed the Red Sea, it said then the children of Israel believed the servant of the Lord. They realized that this is a man of God. We've got to follow him. And they did that also on a couple of other occasions with the pillar of cloud, because that was a supernatural provision from the Lord. Israel also enjoyed spiritual food, the supernatural bread of manna that came down from heaven. Now, they got tired of the manna. The word manna means whatchamacallit, literally in Hebrew. What is it? So that's what the name was, whatchamacallit. And, but boy, it'd be wonderful to be eating manna today. It provided all of the nutrients that they need in their food. It was perfect. It was out. Any pollution or anything, God laid it on the wilderness, and they had to go pick it up. So that was wonderful. And then Israel enjoyed spiritual drink, Exodus 17:6. That's where God brought water out of the rock. That, though Christ was their actual provider, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Now, similarly, Paul's Christian readers had experienced God's guidance and protection. Luke chapter 1, verse 79, and 1 Peter 1:5. His miraculous salvation in Christ, Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Baptism into the body of Christ, that occurs, incidentally, not when you're baptized by water. You're baptized into the body of Christ at salvation when you believe in Christ. It's the spiritual baptism that occurs. Water baptism, all water baptism does is demonstrate outwardly to people that you are inwardly a Christian. Water baptism is actually for the world and other believers to see. But water baptism doesn't do anything for you spiritually other than just obeying the Lord. But the baptism he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 12:13, that occurs the instant you believe in Christ as your Savior. And Christ is also the head of the church. We're all uniquely identified with Christ according to Ephesians 1:22. And they have partaken of the spiritual bread from heaven in Christ, John chapter 6, verses 31 to 34. And Christ was the source of supernatural water for Christians, John chapter 4, verses 14, 10 to 14, is the water of life. However, though Israel enjoyed all of these advantages, all but Joshua and Caleb also experienced God's discipline. They were disqualified, and they died in the wilderness, according to Numbers chapter 14, verse 29. Eventually, even Moses and Aaron had to die in the wilderness because they disobeyed the Lord. Remember, they hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Because they disobeyed the Lord, they had to die in the wilderness just like everybody else. But two men made it out, Joshua, who was Jewish, and Caleb, who was a Gentile. Caleb was of one of the tribes of the people in the land of Canaan that Israel was supposed to, dispossess. And yet this man was a believer, and he had joined Israel before they had left the land of Canaan, I mean the land of Egypt. And Caleb was the leader, the tribal leader of the tribe of Judah. He wasn't even Jewish. Wonderful. Caleb was a tremendous man of God. And it demonstrates that if you were a Gentile in those days, if you believed in God, you had justification just like anybody else. Ruth is another woman. She was a Moabite. Rahab the harlot in Jericho, she came to know the Lord. We're going to see these people in glory. That's wonderful. Only two men made it out, Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else died in the wilderness. To explain, paralleling the fivefold blessings enjoyed by Israel in their newfound freedom from Egypt, Paul named a fivefold failure experienced by Israel in the wilderness. Israel lusted after meat, so God gave it to them and struck them down. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 34, they lusted for meat. God gave them quail, and quail in those days was seen as a luxury food in Egypt. And they started to eat it without cooking it, and of course God struck them down because they were
so greedy for it. It was a gourmet food in Egypt, that's what it was. Israel also turned toward idolatry and paying for it with their lives. 1 Corinthians 10:7, Exodus 32, 1-6 and 28. Israel practiced sexual immorality and idolatry. A number of the forms in the ancient Near East involved immorality. So many of them died, Numbers chapter 25, 1-9. And then Israel doubted God's plan and purpose. So many died by snakes. They had tried to go through Edom, but the Edomites would not allow them to go through their land. So they had to go around Edom. They had to go way out into the Saudi Arabian desert, and go around that way. They started complaining because they had to make this long trip. So God struck them down with serpents. They were supposed to be obeying the Lord. And that's where Moses, remember, built that bronze serpent and held it up in the wilderness. And everybody who looked at it, if he was snake bitten, he would be healed. And that's a picture of Christ. Anything that is on a pole, or a wooden pole especially, is a curse. And that serpent was made a curse. Christ was made a curse for us on the cross, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, Israel rebelled against God's leaders, Moses and Aaron. So many died there, Numbers 21, 4-6. So all of these events in Israel's wilderness journey occurred as examples for us, not recklessly to self-indulge with liberties that God gives us in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Instead, we must watch that we not become arrogant with our liberties in Christ, so as recklessly to practice self-indulgence at the price of harming the consciences of weaker believers. See, this entire extended section started back in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul is trying to get these Christians to protect the consciences of weaker believers. So he hasn't even discussed yet what to do with meat that's been offered to idols. He's going to discuss that later on, but he's talking about the importance of making sure that just because we have liberty in Christ, that we not necessarily use it if it's going to hurt somebody else's walk with Christ. Most of what we do as believers should be done or not done based upon how our actions are affecting other people, because we are responsible as lights to be a light to the world, and so we should be watching ourselves. So, 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of my favorite verses, Paul encouraged his readers to overcome the temptation for self-indulgence and reckless unrestraint, noting God's provisions towards gaining such spiritual victory as follows. Any temptation we believers face today is common to human beings in general. There's not a temptation that you or I face that is unique. So if you're ever faced with a temptation, don't think you're the only person that's ever faced it. There have been many, many people who have faced that temptation. Many people. However, God faithfully does not allow us to be tempted above what we are equipped to overcome. Now, I take that in two ways. God has provided us the spiritual resources and the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, so that we can overcome all these temptations. But I also believe it applies to our maturity level. We're all at different levels of spiritual maturity in the Lord. Now, some of us may be fairly new Christians. Some of us are further along. But God knows exactly where we are in our walk with the Lord. And any temptation we face, from God's perspective, is a temptation that we can handle. So we should never feel that we're above our heads in this temptation. It's overwhelming. There's some knowledge that we have of Scripture. There's experience that we've had as believers in the past that show us that we can handle that temptation. In addition to the temptation we face, God provides a way of escape. I call it a trap door. A way of escape as we depend on the Lord, that we might overcome the temptation without committing acts of sin. And I've seen the Lord do this not only in my own life, but I've had other believers tell me about it. I was facing this temptation. I thought it was too overcoming. But there was this out, somebody ran interference for me, I was able to get out of the situation, boom. I got a kick out of the joint of the church picnic yesterday. They had water there. It was gluten-free water, water-free water. It was fun. You know, it had a lot of fun. It was water, but nevertheless. And I thought, well, you know, we live in a church where there are people that are very, very concerned about your health and what you're taking it in, so if you want to have gluten-free water, that's fine. Salt-free water. I'd like to see mercury-free water if you can come up with that. But anyway, that's another
issue. So the lesson is, as God severely punished Israel in the Exodus for recklessly self-indulging in sin, he will severely punish us believers today for recklessly self-indulging in our liberties in Christ to the harm of weaker believers. However, God faithfully provides the capacity for us to handle all temptations we face that we might overcome them. So in application, may we avoid recklessly indulging in our liberties in Christ to the harm of other weaker believers. Now, this is interesting. We have liberties. We have freedoms in Christ. They're not innately wrong for us to indulge in them. But if we indulge in them, it can cause certain weaker believers, because of their backgrounds, because of where they've come from, whatever, cause them to be tripped up and commit that which is in violation of their conscience. And that causes us to cause a believer to sin. And that is something that God says, no, 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 don't do that. You got to protect your brother. It's like Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord's implication was, yeah, you are. You have to watch out for that. So as Christians, we need to be very, very careful not to be reckless and unrestrained in our liberties, but to be careful that when we use our liberties, it's not something that hurts. And Paul's going to explain this later. He's going to say that if you are invited out to a house somewhere and someone and you're eating meat that's in front of you, don't ask about it. Even if it's been offered to idols, you're free to eat it. But if someone says, don't you know that this was offered to idols? He said, then you stop. Because that person who brought that up, that's a big issue with that person. And you're going to wound his conscience if you continue. One time I went out, when I first came to Nepog Church, I went to a family, and I'd taken a stand in the church about, you know, not, I personally don't believe in partaking of any alcoholic beverages whatsoever, especially leaders are not supposed to do that. And I was set, and they set before me a dessert, and it was pears in a fluid. The fluid looked kind of purplish, and I thought, well, that's, I've never seen that before. What I didn't know, it was an alcoholic beverage, and they just put the pear in the beverage. So I was eating the pear. And they turned to me and said, Pastor, do you like your dessert? I said, yeah, it tastes great. Well, what we did, they told me about the alcohol, and whoa. So I had to experience that very situation where it was they were trying to catch me. They could have, you know, used a different kind of dessert, but that's a situation where it affects someone else. And so we have to be very, very careful. So we have to watch out how we use our liberties in Jesus Christ that we not recklessly indulge to the harm of other people. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. It could be on this subject. Doesn't have to be if there's something else that is coming.